Before I preach, can I ask you please to take notice of the notice in the bulletin to turn off your mobile phone, having had one go off as I was reading the gospel. They are wonderful means of modern communication, but unnecessary for communication with God. Indeed. Well, we should hear about God's call as we already have in these readings. For as my notes say to me at the beginning of this sermon, how do we listen and how do we respond to God's call, his guidance, which I want to think about that Old Testament reading, which the children are quite clearly thinking about this morning as well. And how do we call or encourage others to follow Jesus, looking very much at that gospel passage that I've just read. So to the Old Testament passage, it is actually not that often that our three-year lectionary provides a passage from one of the historical books of the Old Testament, which of course 1 Samuel is. The boy Samuel is working in the temple under the elderly Eli, the high priest. And the high priest Eli is virtually blind. And there is this lovely phrase there in the reading, or sentence. The word of the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were not widespread. Interesting. I wonder why that was the case. Well, the answer in part lies in the previous chapter, where you read about the rather bad behavior of Eli's sons. He actually tried to deal with them, but without much success. They don't take notice of him telling them off for their very poor behavior. But also there was generally a lack of expectation, a malaise, that God would speak or guide the nation, that there would be guidance given from the Lord. And as I reflected upon this reading, I thought, does this also apply to us as individual Christians and corporately, as his church here in Prague? Are we, are you, looking, expecting, wanting God to guide? Or are you just happy to be able to go your own way? Or do what many of us often do, decide what we're going to do, and then pray a short prayer, please God, bless the plans I've made, which is hardly taking God's guidance. It is important that we should seek God's guidance. Now here, of course, how does it happen, you may ask? Well, here, of course, you actually have Samuel hearing an audible voice. And of course, we're always very wary of people who hear voices in the night, aren't we? Yes. And I'm equally wary, of course, also of some over-enthusiastic Christians that you sometimes come across who do seem to know God's number, as Gordon asked me the question, you know, have a direct line to God. You know, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me, the Lord said to me in conversation, and you're always left to wonder how they know that the Lord said this to them. Of course, it's very difficult to argue with somebody who says that to you. So how does God guide us individually and corporately? Well, I think importantly, through the words of Scripture. And often you can read a passage, maybe a familiar passage, and something jumps out at you and speaks to you, or when you hear it read here in church. I often find the words of fellow Christians who say something to me, which can be quite thought-provoking, can be quite helpful, a word of guidance, a word of advice, as though God is speaking through a fellow Christian. And sometimes it is just that real sense of inner peace, that we are in the right place with God, that we are doing what God wants. And of course, if a scripture, a word from fellow Christians, and a sense of inner peace all come together, then I think God is speaking, is guiding us in that. People often ask how I ended up in the ordained ministry. And in part, it was the encouragement and the words of others and the sense of inner peace that this was God's call at the right time in my mid-30s when I went forward to train for ordination, that this was what God wanted. Of course, what we do also need is a sense of expectation that God will speak, that God wants to guide, and a right attitude. We need to be able to say, like Samuel eventually does after being prompted three times, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Let our prayer be, "Lord, guide me, speak to me, I want to do your will. I am listening." And a sense of expectancy, as I've said. And I would invite you and encourage you, regular members of the congregation, to, as the church corporate, to pray and ask, what does God want for St. Clement's in 2015? What is God trying to say? As we as a church council met last Sunday morning, and hopefully, as I sent out my email message this week, have two small groups looking at areas where we can build things up numerically and spiritually. But we need God's guidance. Will you pray and will you seek it for this church as well as for your own lives? And then to our gospel reading from John's Gospel. The context, and it's always important to look at the context of a reading because we're breaking in on part of John chapter 1, is that John the Baptist has pointed two disciples, Andrew and presumably John, to Jesus. And Andrew goes to find his brother, Cephas or Peter, and says to him, "We have found the Messiah." Then our reading begins with Jesus deciding to move from the area of Perea, which is on the eastern side of the Jordan in the south of the Holy Land, back to Galilee, to the north of the Holy Land. And he calls Philip, who clearly already knows Andrew and Peter, because they are all from Bethsaida. And Philip, in turn, finds Nathanael and tries to bring him to Jesus. What does he say? What does Philip say? "We have found him about whom Moses and the law and also the prophets wrote." In other words, we have found the Messiah as foretold by the Old Testament, is what Philip is saying. And he says, it's Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth. You can sense that Philip is all enthused, but he promptly meets cynicism and prejudice. "Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Yes, I'm sure you've said things before now or had criticisms placed upon maybe upon your place of birth. I come from Coventry in the West Midlands and I've had many rude jokes made about where I come from. A little bit like that as well here. But have you ever enthused to someone else, maybe a work colleague or a family member, about your faith, maybe even about your church? "You know, I found this wonderful place of English-speaking Christian worship, St. Clement's in Prague," and got the cynical or the negative response. You know, the church, it's a bunch of hypocrites, or a bunch of elderly ladies singing completely out of tune. One of the great joys of this congregation is that we are not a bunch of elderly people. I'm one of the relatively few over 60s in this congregation. But you do meet the cynical and prejudiced response, don't you? Well, I commend to you this morning Philip's example. Don't argue with somebody. You will very rarely argue anybody into the kingdom of God. No, rather do what Philip said. Come and see. Challenge people to experience rather than argue with them. Particularly, invite them to come with you to worship. You'll be amazed at the number of people who would like to come to church but live in fear of coming in and doing the wrong thing, as it's often expressed. You will be amazed what gets written to me in emails by people sometimes inquiring about this church Do they need a ticket to get in? Yes, I have been asked that. Do they have to wear something special? My only advice is wear something warm in winter. Yes, because there is a want, both a desire, but there is also a fear in many people. So, when you invite people to come with you, to come and see them. Introduce them and show them that other people who go to church, or most of us anyway, are perfectly friendly and human. Invite them to come and see. Follow the example of Philip, who invited Nathanael to meet with Jesus. I didn't know it was that funny, but there we are. Glad I am amusing people. Many a true word is spoken in jest, as is often said. Right, in conclusion this morning, therefore, in this Epiphany season, as I mentioned at the beginning of the service, Jesus is made manifest or shown forth in the call of his first disciples. That is the thinking and theme behind this Sunday. And it is our duty to make Christ manifest, make him known. May we be open to his guidance ourselves, and with a spirit of expectation, and with ears that are listening. And may we be like Philip, enthused about our faith, and about our worshipping community. And when meeting with either fear or cynicism, and both are about, offer them the invitation that Philip gave. Come and see. In the name of God who is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.